Sometimes we think of the Apostle Paul as a really mean guy. And other times we view him as someone who is a saint, whose halo has slipped down around till it's grabbed him by the throat. And he can't say everything he'd like to say to the people to whom he writes and to whom he speaks. We'll be hearing from Paul in a moment, from the letter to the Philippians, the church at Philippi. But first, there are interesting words in Scripture. Some of them only appear once. There's a word in this passage that I'll be sharing that only appears once in the Scripture. Does this remind you of anything? You see people walking around town like this? What do they have going out in front of them usually? Right. Our scripture has prettied up the word and changed it to garbage. But that's not what the Greek says. The Greek word is skubalon, and it means exactly what's in these bags when people walk around. Listen to Paul as an impassioned speaker for what he has found in Christ. I was circumcised, he says, when I was 8 days old. I am from the nation of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a true Hebrew. As a Pharisee, I strictly obeyed the law of Moses. And I was so eager, I even made trouble for the church. I did everything that the law demands to please God. But Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is worthless. Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. I have given up everything else and count it all garbage. All I want is Christ and to know that I belong to him. I could not make myself acceptable to God by obeying the law of Moses. God accepted me simply because of my faith in Christ. All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him to life. I want to suffer and die as he did so that somehow I may also be raised to life. I have not yet reached my goal, and I am not perfect. But Christ has taken hold of me, so I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel that I have already arrived, but I forget what is behind, and I press on, I strain forward for what is ahead. The reading of the word ends, the listening for the word continues.
Let us pray. We who labor under the illusion that we are in charge of things often, O God, gather now and wait for you, for your touch, for your word, for your leading. Bless our speaking and our hearing in Jesus' name. Amen. It was 45 years ago on World Communion Sunday that the first, let's call them pilgrims, gathered for the first service of Church of the Palms held at, I believe it was in the then Fairway Center. About 20 or so folks with a rough-looking bulletin and a fiery minister from California, Albert King, parachuted in by the denomination with his wife, Mary Frances. Some of you may remember one or both of them. At our 30th anniversary, shortly after I arrived here, Mary Frances agreed to bring greetings from she and her husband, who was bedridden at that time. And I had asked her to speak for 2 minutes. Mary Frances spoke for 25 minutes. It was not my first experience of having plans go awry, but it was an uncomfortable one as I stood here in front of some of you thinking, what do I do? What do I do? It's a great question to ask. Because in every life, there are things, sometimes serious things, that go very much awry. And the question is, what do we do? It was 17 years ago that I first stepped into this pulpit which it has been my joy and privilege to occupy across these years. And yes, I am savoring these services, each one of them, as the year winds down. And thank you, choir. And thank you all. And thank you, Marshall, and all who contribute in your ways to make these experiences so extraordinary. How do you handle it when things don't go as you planned? If I can dwell in the trivial for just a minute, this past year as we traveled on sabbatical, Liz had made plans for us to be greeted when the train arrived in Paris by a driver with what was described as a limousine. Now I know, and you know, that when you get picked up at the airport in something described as a limousine, at best you're going to get a Lincoln Town Car, which is fine. A Lincoln Town Car is nice, but it's likely to be something else. And so we were assured repeatedly that our driver would be there waiting for us. Richard was his name. We had paid more than I thought was a wise amount to pay for such a thing, but I was not in charge, and that was okay. The train arrived. We got off the train with our bags. We went to the appointed spot to look for Richard, who was nowhere to be seen. We looked this way and that way and back up the tracks. We approached a couple of people thinking they might be Richard. No, they weren't. What do you do? I'll tell you later, maybe, if I remember. Paul had a profound experience of things not working out as he had planned. In this morning's very vivid reading, and thank you, Marshall, for that translation, I did not know that. I will now have a new word to call people in Greek when I do not wish to use other words. I like that. Paul describes himself as circumcised, but not just that, Jewish, but not just that, from the tribe of Benjamin, but not just that, a Pharisee, but not just that, a persecutor of the early Christians. You may recall it was Paul who was present when Stephen was stoned to death. If you think beheading is a gruesome way to die, try watching a stoning. And that was a common occurrence in those days, I'm sorry to report. And Paul was one of them. We don't have his actually throwing a stone, but he was there urging them on. But things did not work out as he was planning. You know the story of the Damascus Road and his transformation. And he uses a phrase in this morning's lesson that is very, very important. He says, I press on. Or the translation that I prefer, I strain forward. That's a great phrase, straining forward. And the Greek is rich. It doesn't just mean persevering, although persevering is a good thing. Straining forward implies the great load that would hold us back, but continuing the forward momentum even so, refusing to be stopped in our tracks. It is a very powerful witness from a fellow who was on the way to be martyred himself. He was soon to be executed himself. Too often, as luck would have it, we religious folks, and not just religious folks, strain backward. It's an easy temptation into which to fall. In my first church, there was a fellow whose name was Gordon, and he was a great guy, and we became great friends, but it didn't start out that way. Gordon, it seems, liked to be in charge, and he was that church's unofficial pillar. He was the largest contributor as well. He did not hold any office, he did not serve on any board or committee, but make no mistake about it, Gordon ran the place. Now, in one of my early sermons, I was 23 years old, remember that. In one of my early sermons, I preached on this passage, and I talked about how important it was not to be cemented into the past, but always have our hearts and eyes and spirits fixed on the future to find God there in the future. And I did not know the dog poo translation. I just used the translation that the past is a pile of garbage for Paul. Well, I had to look up a new word after that sermon, because on the way out, Gordon told me he had taken umbrage. What in the world, I thought, was an umbrage, and where did he find it? To make matters worse, we had a volunteer office person who did a weekly newsletter, not unlike the weekly email that goes out, except this was mailed every Tuesday, with what was happening and who needed prayers and so on. Well, she put a graphic on that week's little newsletter that went out, a graphic that I had not seen and she had not asked me about. The graphic said, "The past is nothing but rubble." And Gordon thought I had done it. It took us a while to unwrap that tangle. Pressing forward, straining forward, is Paul's answer to what do you do when things don't work out as you expect. Sometimes it's trivial things that don't work out, and they can annoy us and make us mean and crabby, but they are trivial. Things like Richard not showing up at the train. Oftentimes, they are much more significant. An illness, a relationship that dissolves unexpectedly, painfully. A disease that invades yours or a loved one's body. The death of a loved one may be way too soon. Or no matter when, always filled with loss and pain. The list is long, and in the midst of those experiences, Paul would urge us to strain forward. Jesus strained forward. He got himself into a whole lot of trouble for straining forward. In fact, he got himself crucified. It is written, he would say to them in the Bible, and he would quote a Bible passage, but I say to you, in other words, don't be cemented into an old translation. Strain forward. At another time, he said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, my goodness. When there's an interim pastor in this pulpit, you mean to tell me that if you look back wistfully at the guy who stood here for all those years, that would make you unfit for the kingdom of God? It is at least worth contemplating this importance of straining forward. Jesus blew the doors off customs and rules. He angered people by hanging out with the prostitutes and the tax collectors and deliberately welcoming into the very heart of his community those who had been excluded and left out. Strain forward, he told them. The kingdom of God is about to be here, and you don't want to be left out. Every week, we pray, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying for exactly that thing. So how is it with you when things don't work out the way you planned them? How do you deal with that in the decisions you make, in your spirit, in your mind and heart? How is it that you strain forward, push on, embrace actively this God who never stands still and is forever creating new opportunities? And what about for Church of the Palms as a congregation? When I look back to 1997, I can hardly believe the changes that have happened among us. It's breathtaking. While this looks like the same place, and it is largely, it also largely isn't. Physically, so many things have changed around the building. and in the community. If you don't think so, pull out the 1997 annual report. We have it in the office. Read through it. You'll be astonished. In those days, ushers were required to have jackets and ties. And the first usher who showed up wearing not a dark blue or black or dark gray blazer got an earful about that. Imagine today such a rule. Let me ask you this. As a community in Christ, is this congregation prepared to move boldly into the next chapter of its life in this strange new world, continuing to look for the presence of Christ in the eyes of those who may seem different? Will we listen for the God we claim is still speaking and find God's word in unexpected places and people? It's an important question. This is a strange time in which we live. And in this church, I know there's lots of conversations going on as you anticipate the changes that are around the corner. Some of you living in the residue of the inclusion statement that was accepted last spring are unresolved about the process and about many things. Some of you are already planning maybe to try other churches when the presence in this pulpit changes. Some of you have talked with me about that, and you know what I've told you already. The church is not the... Thank you. It's okay. It's okay to be fond of a pastor. That's okay. It's okay to appreciate a pastor. Thank you for those who have. And it's almost over for those who haven't. The important question is, how will we press forward together, loving one another and this God whom we serve with heart and soul and mind and strength? How will we press on spiritually, financially, organizationally, relationally? That's our call. And with the power of Paul's words and that little plastic bag notwithstanding, on his way to his own execution, he gave us the answer. Press on. Strain forward. Or as I am fond of saying now and then, say it with me, onward. Amen.